morning. You're listening to Better Broadcast, the Hot Topic podcast delivered to you as a collaboration between The Cord and Radio Laurier, with today's hosts, Bronte Bailing and Abigail Heckbert.
As we're affiliated with Wilfrid Laurier University, we would like to acknowledge that Laurier and its campuses are located on the Haldimand Tract, traditional territory of the Neutral Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples.
Pandemic life has been tough on everyone, but it's drastically impacted the prospect of dating and casual sex for single people. The social space of dating is now, for many, tied to COVID-19 vaccination statuses, social distancing, and mask wearing.
This week, we're speaking with TK Pritchard, Executive Director of Shore Center. Shore Center offers inclusive sexual and reproductive health services to the Waterloo Region community.
So if you're comfortable, we can jump right on into our questions. From your perspective, how has COVID-19 impacted the ways people have been approaching dating and sex?
COVID-19 has had significant impacts on dating and sex. You know, at different times during the pandemic, it's been really unclear to people about what they can and can't do and what's safe. I think you see a big rise in online dating and use of apps for people to meet and connect, and a lot of differences in the way that people are dating in person when they are meeting up. So we've seen shifts to more outside dates and video chats and those types of things to try and reduce barriers. But I think overall it's had a huge impact, but really come with a lot of questions, a lot of new fears, and a lot of things that are just not super clear for people who are trying to date and have sex right now.
For sure. How has Shore Center adapted to all the changes brought on by the pandemic? Has COVID-19 impacted the education and services the center provides?
Yeah, it definitely has impacted our services. Shore Center provides a wide variety of services within the sexual and reproductive health space. So in our clinical services, where we do things like medication abortion, birth control consultations, IUD insertions, we moved everything that we could to telemedicine. We still do offer in-person care. Obviously, you can't do an IUD insertion over the phone, but if people didn't have access to technology, then we were still able to serve them in our office. Our education programs also moved virtual for the most part. So we were doing online sessions for schools, for community groups, but groups that may have had us in before, for example, a student group or club on campus who would have invited us in to speak, that didn't happen as much during the pandemic because everything was so different, right? So while we were able to maintain our services, there were still groups that we weren't having the same conversations with. We also used to, you know, be on campus or in the community quite often giving out resources like condoms, like dental dams, information booklets about sexual health. And obviously that's something we haven't been able to do. So we've really tried to put more of that on our social media. We did a lot more on TikTok this year, and which seems very cool. I don't have TikTok and I should not tell people that, but you know, that we've had a lot of other engagement strategies to try and have the same information online and make sure that we're reaching particularly young folks through our social media channels.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a very powerful tool. So from your perspective, in what ways has the pandemic negatively affected the social constructs of dating and sex? Have you seen any unexpected positives?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, definitely on the kind of more negative sides, again, I think there's been a lot of heightened anxiety and fear around what are people able to do and not do and how they stay safe, but also a real increase in social isolation, right? So people who do want to be dating at this time, but, you know, again, they're not clear about what that can look like. You know, maybe they're comfortable having conversations with people around things like vaccination status, like that stuff can be tricky to navigate. And so you see people struggling, but also even the information that is out there around sex and dating typically is focusing on people who live with their partners or who have one partner. And so people who are in polyamorous relationships or who have multiple partners, there hasn't been a lot of really supportive direction. And, you know, it's meant a lot of people trying to make difficult choices around which partners can they see and how can they do that safely. And so we've, really only seen a lot of information around people who have that kind of one partner relationship, which is not the reality for a lot of folks. And so there's, you know, been a lot of people who've really been left out of this conversation. I think on the positive side, you know, both there are some people who are more comfortable with online dating, and I think that COVID-19 has helped to normalize that for some people, that online dating is a viable option for connecting. It's also made people have more conversations around boundaries, about things like STI status and having consent conversations around what do people feel comfortable doing and where are their boundaries. And some of those conversations are more difficult for folks. But if you have had to practice throughout the pandemic talking about, you know, well, what do you feel safe doing? Can we go to a park? Does that feel okay for you? Do you only do video chats? You know, when do you feel comfortable having a date inside a house? Or, you know, when does that change for you? Have you been vaccinated? Are you partially vaccinated? Those are actually really great ways to practice for having conversations also around things like STIs and sexual consent, right? That, you know, people have been kind of forced into having those discussions at this moment. And I'm hoping that that translates to more comfort talking about other areas of boundaries and needs.
Yeah, for sure. Boundaries are, of course, very important. And you mentioned it a little bit with vaccines, but the rising vaccine rates and continued importance being placed upon becoming fully vaccinated, people's dating profiles are now including personal vaccination statuses, which I think is a great thing, alongside their hobbies and preferences. Do you think this is a social change that will become permanent, at least for the near future?
This is very interesting. And I know you've seen it happen in some of the, particularly the bigger applications in the US, but also with Hinge adding it to theirs. And you know, you're seeing more and more folks add that vaccination status part. I feel like it probably will stay for some time. You know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to predict the pandemic moving forward and what that's going to look like. But I think there's going to be quite a long period of time where folks are still really wanting to know that they're as safe as they possibly can be. I think it also is serving as a tool to encourage more people to get vaccinated, right? Which is very interesting. And I'm sure people will study this for years to come. But the idea that you have to, or you're encouraged to put it on your dating profile, and that might mean more people feel comfortable connecting with you, is a fascinating form of what I would deem positive social pressure to have more people get vaccinated, right? So I do think that you're going to have a lot of people rely on it. I also think it's really interesting. I was reading an article about folks who are using it as an indicator for the person's wider politics as well, and trying to figure out if they politically connect and if they are someone who believes in vaccines and this person is saying that they're not vaccinated or they don't intend it to be vaccinated, that is sending them a signal about that person's politics and their beliefs. And so they're using it also as a bit of an additional screening tool to understand if they're going to be compatible with that person.
Yeah, I actually never thought about it that way, but that definitely could be the case. So again, for people who are anxious about the prospect of easing back into the dating pool, especially for those who have not done so in over a year, do you have any advice for them? And what do you think safe sex looks like in a pandemic?
It's a great question. I mean, the first thing I'd say is that, you know, folks, be kind to yourselves, right? It's been a really difficult time, and not even just in the dating space. I think for a lot of us, just going back out and seeing a friend in person and remembering how to do that, right? We've not really, a lot of us haven't had physical presence with other people. And so figuring out what that looks like is going to be a little awkward for some folks. It's going to be a little strange, and that's okay, right? Whether it's a sexual, romantic friendship, just seeing anyone is going to be very different. And so I think, you know, be kind to yourself around adjusting to that. But also that it's okay if you don't feel safe doing those things yet. And I think there's, you know, being a bit of a push around what everyone's calling the hot vax summer, the idea that we're all vaccinated now. Lots of people are not vaccinated still. There's also a lot of concerns about the Delta variant, particularly in Waterloo region. And it's okay if you're saying like, hey, you know what, I am vaccinated, but I don't feel comfortable yet meeting up with other people. And if you do, that's also okay, right? We just want to make sure we're following public health guidelines. But sometimes the guidelines that are out there doesn't mean that you as an individual feel comfortable. So thinking about, you know, what are your boundaries? What do you feel okay with? It doesn't matter what the other folks want in that moment, if it's going to push your boundary, right? If someone says, well, I'm actually very comfortable meeting up at my apartment and you're not ready for that, that's okay. So I think really thinking about what those boundaries are like and feeling comfortable having those conversations is going to be really important. And also making sure that you're checking in with the other person around what they're comfortable with and really respecting that and just kind of giving yourself a bit of a break around that. I think safe sex during a pandemic looks like safe sex, safer sex all the time, right? You know, there's some messaging around that if folks are wearing, still comfortable wearing masks when they're having sex, that they could reduce some transmission. I never thought we'd see a time where a Center for Disease Control would suggest using glory holes. Now that was early on in the pandemic, but in my sexual health career, that is the most fascinating social development I think that I've seen. But, you know, barring that, I think, again, just really having those conversations. If you want to talk about vaccination status, if you want to talk about testing, there are more options as well to get rapid tests done in the region. And so there's different possibilities for people, but so much of it comes back to that communication piece.
So in terms of people who are not vaccinated, how should they approach safe sex and dating if they so wish to?
I think, again, it's one of those things where we want to be really honest, right? Being able to share around our vaccination status, recognizing that there's different reasons why people are not vaccinated, and wanting to have that kind of open communication. I think, again, recognizing that particularly in the time of Delta variant, that there is still risk in our communities and really assessing what that risk is and how comfortable you feel with that. And what are the safety measures that you can still take around masking and distancing. You know, there are specifically for dates as well, like lots of ways that we can still follow public health guidelines and have outdoor dates and go on picnics and go on walks and trying to access those other opportunities that might feel safer for people. But again, you know, just being really honest with the folks that we're going on dates with around what it is that we need and what's going to make us all feel safe.
Yeah, so kind of on the same line as that, vaccinated or not, there are also people who may not feel comfortable having intercourse during the pandemic, but still crave sexual or romantic intimacy. Are there ways people can achieve these connections that lessen their risk of COVID-19 exposure or completely protect all participating parties?
Yeah, I think there's lots of opportunities for sexual engagement that are either kind of low COVID risk or no COVID risk, right? And, you know, we're seeing more people talking about things like chatting over the phone, having sexual chats over the phone, sending sexual messages, video chatting together, those types of things. Mutual masturbation can also be something that's done over the phone or over video or in a space, but further apart, potentially if people feel more comfortable with that. So I think, you know, looking for those ways that people can still engage in sexual activity. And also I should mention, I said mutual masturbation, but people can also masturbate on their own. They don't have to be with partners, of course, which can be a way for folks to still kind of connect with those sexual needs. So I think, you know, kind of rethinking what those options are and that there's lots of ways, whether we're on our own or with a partner, to still engage in sexual activity that doesn't include physical contact together. And, you know, really being creative around how we can still have that type of connection.
Now, you touched on it a little bit already, but how has the pandemic affected personal boundaries and consent? Should people now include vaccination status, COVID-19 testing, et cetera, in their questions before physically engaging with any potential partners?
I mean, yeah, the impact on boundaries and consent is huge, right? There's actually folks like teaching entire consent workshops now using COVID conversations as an example, right? Because we see more people, for example, navigating those boundaries with their peers that, you know, if I meet someone in person, it's quite normal for me to say now, oh, would you feel better if we had our masks on? You know, is this far enough apart for you? Do you feel comfortable if we go somewhere on a patio and eat, or would you prefer that we don't do that, right? We're learning, I think, very quickly as a large number of people to have those conversations together. And so, you know, hopefully that's also translating into our ability to have more conversations around other forms of boundaries with folks, and that there's overlap within that. I mean, I always want people to be open and honest with one another and have really strong forms of communication. So I think if folks are able to talk also about their vaccination status, about testing, that could be a really normal part of a conversation that may also include STI testing then, and conversations around barriers, right? If they might want to talk about condoms or DAMs or birth control and all of those things, right? That it could be part of a very normalized conversation that recognizes, hey, I want to be as safe as possible on this encounter. You want to be as safe as possible. So how can we kind of navigate that together? And right now, COVID-19 has opened some of that door for people, right? That it could be, hey, what do you feel safe with on a date? And then if we're moving forward, there's like, okay, you know, remember we talked about like where we were going to sit on that patio. What about like boundaries in a sexual way, right? We can move into that conversation. And so I'm hoping it does build and help people to actually talk about that.
Absolutely. So finally, with some of the newer strains of COVID-19 being found to be more transmissible than the original, what would you say to people who are anxious about finding a balance between staying safe and socializing, especially for those who miss dating and meeting new people?
Yeah, I recognize, you know, it's a really hard time, particularly for folks that do miss kind of that in-person connection, you know, also folks who will potentially live on their own, whose partners don't live with them, who want to be meeting new people. It's really difficult and it hasn't been an easy year. And so I think like right now when we're still kind of figuring out how do we get out of this public health crisis, it's really important to weigh out all of the pieces involved, right? What do you need to be healthy and well? What do we want to think about in terms of community wellness? What is my role in keeping the community well and helping us kind of move forward and out of this pandemic? And then generally, if I am having an interaction, what am I comfortable and feel safe with? And I think, you know, those are all really important things to think about. And like, what is your harm reduction approach, right? So if I'm missing seeing people or going on dates, if I'm looking at public health guidelines that say, yeah, I can be outside with people and that feels okay. You know, and maybe I've been tested recently or I don't have a lot of exposure risks, so I'm feeling good about that. Then, you know, we can think about if that makes sense for us to see people, right? And really trying to weigh out, you know, am I making a good public health decision? And also, do I feel safe? And coming back to that idea that, you know, you might feel like, yeah, I am really low risk for COVID-19. I've been vaccinated, but I'm not sure about the Delta variant and I want to wait longer. That's also totally fine. And maybe there's other ways to fill that connection. Whether that's kind of trying to continue those online chats with our friends, having more phone calls, or figuring out those kind of distanced ways that we feel comfortable. I just want to make sure folks don't feel pressured into jumping back to what they used to do before, and recognizing from a public health standpoint that that might not also be the best thing all the time. But knowing that people need that type of connection, I think it's just really important for them to make those decisions on their own and what's going to be the best. Again, thinking about the overall guidelines that are out there.
That's awesome. Well, those are all of our questions for today. We'd like to thank you, TK, for taking time out of your day to speak with us and furthering education surrounding the pandemic and dating and sex.
Thank you so much. This is great.
It's nice to meet you both. Thanks so much for chatting with me.
Thanks for tuning in, listeners.
Until next time, stay safe out there, Golden Hawks.